WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to recon here. Before I do that, I got to tell everybody about our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Got some Betty Boop scratch-offs. I'm running low on these. Be giving these away at Green Man. I think by the time we get to G&A, Coney Island Hot Dog and White Marsh on the 22nd and Conrad's Crabs on the 27th up in Perry Hall, we'll have some fresh scratcher offers as well. Also brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. The Wise conversations have continued throughout Easter. Big appreciation for them and providing me enough points for a ham for a proper Easter. We have Good Fridays and Great Fridays, and then there are Big Mondays. Mueller's had a big week this week. He doesn't want to talk about Putin this week. Doesn't want to talk about serious issues. He wants to talk about sports because the Masters opening day, we got the draft coming up in 2 weeks. Your kids are out playing little league this and lacrosse that and doing all this stuff. You got sports on the brain as spring has sprung, haven't you?
You know, I said to some friends yesterday as I was sitting in 17 degree weather at a JV baseball game, it's not much better than watching a really good high school baseball game and watching kids make outstanding plays. And when you have a rooting interest, it's a lot of fun. So yeah, things are really good. Before we get to all that, and we can do some serious stuff as we do 25 minutes or so, give us a quick, the last time we chatted, you and the lovely Jen were on your way to Billy Joel. Give us a little report card. You were up there on that, what's it called? The magical
glass bridge
at Madison Square Garden. Another terrific outing for Billy?
Well, yes. The Old Faithful rears its ugly head, which is drunk, young guy, disrespectful of Billy Joel, shouting at his girlfriend in the middle of She's Got Away. And, you know, so, yeah, I don't know what it is. I do my best to avoid humans when I go to concerts at this point and try to sit on an aisle so I just have one less person that is going to be talking during ballads. I don't understand it. And, you know, I'm a Van Halen guy. I'm a Zeppelin. You know, I like rock and roll. I like loud shows, but I don't like loud people at shows. It makes me nuts. It really does.
You know, Nestor, there's an interesting connection, and we should get a behavioral psychologist on one day. That would be fun because I think there's a connection between what you're describing and, believe it or not, things like the transfer portal in college and things like high school kids quitting, which I hear periodically because they're not getting enough playing time. There's this narcissistic nature, and I don't want to put it on just one generation. I mean, it's always been there, but I am concerned, you know, the young man that sits next to you that's unable to recognize that as Billy Joel is singing a ballad that
I don't want to talk to him.
That he's
I don't
not
want him talking to his girlfriend either.
Right. He's not the universe doesn't center around him. Or, you know, a young person saying, I'm not going to run track this week for my high school team because my AAU coach says there's some event where there's going to be some college coaches that I need to go see this weekend, and that becomes more important than the team. So I don't want to belabor that, but I do think there's this narcissism where we've gotten away from a sense of community and we're all in this together to where it's all about me. I think that's pretty disturbing, and it's not something that I'm pleased with. I will say, you having been to New York, and I don't want to belabor it, but it did have a happy ending. We have that subway shooter, you know, a couple days after you were there, right? And, you know, this gentleman walks in, they find him, he shoots 10 people, shoots multiple rounds again. I mean, the story, it's like in Beauty and the Beast.
Well, I mean, there was never a point where I thought, as a guy in my 20s, that we need more guns. And if we all had more guns and everybody had a gun, things would be better. Like, that's some shit the Russians have sold to us through the NRA.
Yeah.
And like, it's incomprehensible to Australian people. who are very sensible people by and large, who've looked at their society and said, better with less than with more. This doesn't happen there. And they would say, well, of course, if you give every crazy American a gun, people are going to shoot each other every day. That's going to happen.
Yeah,
and it happens now every day. And to your point, you can't look the other way from the situation with the young children up in New Jersey, or what we remember from Columbine, which is now 30 years ago. Right.
It's pretty frustrating. I said I'd like to blame Putin for as much as we can, but I don't blame him for our attitude on guns. This comes out of our frontier nature and this crazy affinity.
I think the NRA has been fueled by international interests that have nothing to do with the guy who paid $50 and has a sticker on his pickup truck. Those are not the people sending fundable money to the NRA. The NRA has been funded by non-American entities who seek to create chaos in America.
You may be right.
I believe that.
They have a pretty large membership, unfortunately, and they've always been just about money. I'd have to see the breakdown of their funding.
The issue isn't guns. The issue isn't hunting ducks or hunting deer, except not on my property. But the issue is nefarious bad actors. I mean, you got people fighting against this ghost gun bill, right? Every time we sit with anyone credible, whether it's Ben Cardin, whether it's Van Hollen, whether it's Larry Hogan, the ghost guns are an issue in this state
We recently had Attorney General Brian Frosch on, and the ghost gun bill passed with the help and the urgent encouragement by the Attorney General.
We talked to Tharu Vignaraja too, right? At the same hour, we heard about ghost guns all morning down at Fadley's, right?
Sure.
Literally.
Yes, we did. And I thought that the Attorney General made a point. We were talking Supreme Court appointments, and he made a point. I thought, man, that's really a good point, Mr. Attorney General. I haven't heard many people talk about it. We asked him about this whole concept that, you know, how conservative Republicans hang their hat on originalism, and that the Constitution, you can only hold the Constitution accountable for words that happen to appear in the Constitution. And the Attorney General pointed out to us, he said, unless it happens to be inconvenient and not fit their narrative. And he used the example of the Second Amendment. He said, where originalists, where you talk about the first phrase in the Second Amendment, in order to support a more a militia, a well-regulated militia, which makes it clear that the Second Amendment, they were speaking about a militia, not a populace as a whole. The Attorney General points out, that's not really what that meant. So they're not really originalists. It's frustrating. But, you know, my shout out was this. I don't want to belabor the subway thing because it is depressing. But a shout out again to all of the law enforcement agencies, the New York City Police Department, all of the men and women who risk their lives for us each and every day. Just amazing work to catch this person in a couple of days. And just a reminder that the police are very, very important to the fabric of our society. Now, having said that, I have a little bone to pick with you. I gave you a heads up before we came on. You did something.
I don't need any heads up you're going to be unreasonable about the Orioles.
Embarrass yourself.
I'm going to go on Facebook right now, and I'm going to say, how many people think the game was sold out on Monday? And let me see.
Well,
who thought the game was sold out other than you,
Rob
Kubacko, and employees of the Orioles?
Let me know when you're done. Let me know when you're done, and then I'll make my point. You know it was sold out, and you know it was sold out for this reason. They reported, first of all, you posted a disingenuous photo at the beginning of the game.
I can post any photo you want of the stadium on Monday. Any photo.
Nestor, I've been to that stadium hundreds of times. Were there 44,000 in attendance? No. Were there 40? Absolutely. I know that stadium well. And was the game, were tickets sold out? Here's what was disingenuous about what you did. You know what pro sports teams report. They report ticket sales. They don't report turnstile. So in the same way that when the Ravens have a sellout of 70,000 people.
Tom, were you online all day on
seats? Let me finish.
The seats weren't sold.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
I was at the box office in the second inning, man.
They sold the tickets. Here's what's happening.
I stood at the box office.
It's frustrating. You cannot get past. You absolutely, your hatred for all things Angelo's family. That's Let me finish. Don't cut me off.
You can't call me hatred and without me cutting you off. Hatred is, I have no hatred at all. I don't go to bed every night hating.
You are not rational about this franchise. You're not rational about how many people were at the game.
You would love them to go.
Here's the problem. What picture do you want me to send you from what person sitting in what perch?
I had thousands of people on my timeline putting pictures up. I had people text me who were at the game saying it was an embarrassment.
Nestor.
I stood out in front at the box office where tickets were and people were, and I stood in pickles with Michael McCrary. I walked the perimeter. I was downtown for 6 hours.
So they did not sell out the game.
The game was not sold out. It wasn't close to being sold out. It was never close to being sold out. Tickets were $17, $15, $12. They depressed the tickets. They went down as low as $4 at one point because I was watching on my app. I walked over to the stadium to the box office where there was no one in line, and they had all the tickets in the world I'd want to buy for $17. There were $17 at the box office. I wasn't going to pay $17.
You know how it works. You know what they
did. Everything a reporter could do except have a press pass, which they don't give me. So I did as much as I could do.
Nobody cares about your press pass.
I know that.
Go. And if you look at your feed,
nobody cares whether the owner ever answers a question or not.
They do not.
They do not. That's sad. And again, that's why you get what you get. That's where you get a $30 million payroll. You get this awful streaming situation where even if you pay them, you don't get to watch the games, which is absurd. And then you get this barrier to entry for people who want to experience it on television.
What are you talking about if you don't get to watch?
You have to buy cable television to have them, and then you have to be at home, because if you want to watch the game on your phone from State Fair, well, the game would be on there. But if you're in your car and Liz is driving and you're going to New York, you can't watch the game. It's insane. All right. It's bad business.
Nestor, stop. You're smarter than this. Unless you're living in a cave, you are well aware that Masson has rolled out an app in which Fios is indeed available right now, and they are working through the technical part that Xfinity will be available probably in 30 to 60 days. So you're
2022, every other team in the league has this stuff.
Nestor, maybe, but they're doing – you're suggesting – they're not.
I'm suggesting they're bottom of class because they are. They always are. They're bottom of division. Really, they're bottom of payroll. They're bottom.
Where are they?
They're bottom of everything.
Where are they in minor league systems?
Okay, wherever somebody's mystical thoughts are. Have they been winning championships in the minor leagues?
Of course not.
That's the measurement, right?
Will they? I think we hope they will. Listen.
I hope they never win a minor league championship. I hope these guys all come up here and play and give you something to cheer about because you won't like it.
No, you won't cheer for them. You won't like it.
I like when the city does well. I like seeing 43,000 people downtown.
In terms of the owner, I could care less if I ever hear Steve Bisciotti or John Angelo.
Well, then you have a lower bar than I do.
No, I don't. Listen.
You care about hearing from the leader of Baltimore County? You do. You care about Johnny O says things. Do you care about hearing the leaders of any business in the city, Johns Hopkins? Of course you do. So therefore, the leader should be available and front-facing. And you and I just disagree about that.
I want to hear from the people who are making the decisions about the club. I want to hear from Eric DeCosta, and I want to hear from Mike Elias. I don't want Jerry Jones being my owner of choice, who needs to be in the limelight all of the time.
This isn't about the baseball. This is about the business. It's different.
I would hope that they would say, look, I hire people and I let them do their job. The point being,
that there's a guy named Sashi Brown that runs the Ravens, and there's a guy named T.J. Brightman that runs the
Orioles. They don't run the football side. People care about the football side, Nestor. You're one of the few that cares about the other.
So when Daniel Snyder's out doing all this awful stuff, I'm the only one that would care about that.
I don't care about. Listen, Daniel Snyder's down there. Here's the bottom line.
Ownership needs to be held accountable, or you get what you get here. And the fact that you're still apologizing for this family after 30 years, it is what it is. I mean, they lied about selling out on Monday, and you're spicering it right now. And it's, I mean, I feel sorry for you that you're so far into the orange Kool-Aid that they've got you admitting a non-sellout was a sellout and arguing with me about it on the radio. Yeah. I will take it to social media. I will quiz the world as to who thought it was a sellout.
But you see the response on social media where people are echoing what I'm saying, Nestor, your anger with the Orioles.
My anger has nothing to do with pointing out there's empty seats in the upper deck.
You don't think
I haven't said a negative thing about the owner here in this conversation at all. The question we should be asking is, why were the seats empty?
Did you post a picture at the beginning of the game?
I posted the picture Luke posted during the national anthem. Yes.
Exactly. Which is a silly picture to post, because at every Ravens game we go to, there are probably at the time of the national anthem 15 to 20,000 empty seats. And by the time the game is played, it's almost full. Later in that game, that stadium was
just the same way with the Ravens. I sit in the stadium and I show you the swaths of seats that weren't sold. And I know they weren't sold because I've been on the app all day where the tickets were $22 and nobody was buying them. So, and there were thousands of them, and then they don't get sold. And I pull up pictures, like real pictures. I can pull up a picture right now. And
so they're all lying.
I want to, like, because people,
they're all lying. They did not sell 44,000 seats. They're all lying. Tell me why.
Because
makes
them feel good.
To do it.
No, but because it makes people report that there's a sellout.
No.
This is a seat. This isn't the picture I posted. This is a picture from a listener of mine. This is when the game was starting. This is how many empty seats are here, not to mention the fact that they sit people in situations now where they like to put distance.
Stadium was much. That's an early picture also.
This is a picture of the opening pitch.
Nestor,
actually,
it's
the first out.
Nestor, the stadium.
I'm looking at it.
The stadium was much, much more crowded.
This is the upper left field at the beginning of the game. You're telling me this filled in completely. You're telling me these seats filled in completely.
Just about. Go back and look at the game on TV.
Okay.
You're just not being honest. But that's okay. But yes, it was almost full. It was almost full.
Almost full is that now a sellout? Was it almost full or was it a sellout?
Because you know the answer and you're trying to be cute. They don't
showing you the evidence. What inning do you want to see?
No, you didn't show the evidence. You know the stadium filled up. Listen,
because nobody wants to be there to see Rob Long in his hat do the orange carpet thing.
Everybody
wanted to be in their seat for the beginning of the game.
People had to get there for you. Hate the team.
I don't hate Jerry Coleman.
But you do hate the Orioles. Come on, sure you do. You do hate them. You would be delighted if they lost 100.
You remind me of like some cop accusing me of a crime I didn't commit, trying to get me to say, I committed the crime. I didn't commit any crime. I've committed the crime of truth. And the truth is they did not sell out on Monday and they're lying about it. And that to me is a jumping off point when they issue a press release that says sellout, when you're sitting there, Sean Spicering, that everyone should say, can't you people just be honest about the 34,000 seats you sold or whatever?
I don't think they did sell. And I'll tell you where else I give them kudos.
You don't think they sold out or you did? I'm going to be clear on this.
I think it was sold out, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't think they lied.
Because they wouldn't lie?
I don't think they lied.
They would never lie. They don't lie.
I haven't seen them lie, but
All right.
I haven't watched any lie they tell. But the other thing that I think they did very well, and it was successful, and it actually cost me a bet, because a week or so ago, I was asked how many people would be in the stands for the two night games following. And I said 4,000 or 5,000. And I'm watching the game the first night, and I'm going, that's kind of weird. A lot more people there than I would have thought.
And weren't the tickets $8 or $10?
They did that promotion, and they've had 12,000 people both nights, which in April is not bad. But the point being,
they announced 12,000, by the way. I have no predictions on what Tuesday or Wednesday.
You're not able to
I've seen pictures.
It was crowded enough It was crowded enough that I noticed. I mean, there were people in center field. There were people in left field in a way that I hadn't seen it. And it was, so the promotion worked. And the other thing is, listen, they're going to lose a lot of games, but they've played two of the very best teams in baseball, and they've played them right down to the end. I mean, we still don't have quite enough soldiers yet to win the battle, but we're getting much, much closer. And when Rushman gets here and he's in the middle of the lineup, then the lineup will get a little better throughout. So they're getting closer and closer and closer. I just think the interesting thing is, and you and I had talked about this a month ago, and I think on this one, I ended up being right as well. I don't know what it means that I was right, but you thought there would be some residual resentment across baseball on the part of fans regarding the work.
I don't think I thought that. I don't think I thought that, because I think the people like you that are in were going to go.
No, I think you said it. I think you thought that it was another thing that fans wouldn't forget and would be slow to come back.
I think it's kind of a good thing that they start playing baseball this week instead of last week because of the weather. I mean, you talk about the crowd. And by the way, I am factual and I share things on the video screen. This is Chris Pica, who went to the game on Wednesday night. This was his picture from his seat. So you can see how many people are there or not there or whatever. I don't need to make up the crowd.
I said, I'm accountable for it. And he didn't show center and left.
The cheap seats and the 70 degrees, I don't know. The fact that they won opening day used to mean something. The fact that John Means was pitching on Wednesday night and it was a good pitching matchup would mean something. I think weather means a lot when they come to town. But I think the one thing that I've seen with them over the modern era of people like you that go to games, not you because you're not this guy, but the giveaways, you know, people will flock to bobblehead night. You're not that guy. You go for the games. Nah. But there are games. That's when they do well. They don't do well on Tuesday nights when Don and Jeff go and sit in their seats. They do well when they're giving something away. And they'll have 10 of those this year.
Yeah, I agree. No. They'll struggle to draw 1 million people. I agree with that. But then I think
it's not price point. It is for me, because I wouldn't give them $35 to sit in the upper deck. When the tickets are $8 or $10, it's not price point anymore.
Yeah.
Dom, listen, because I've been doing this for a long, long time and I've watched all of it deteriorate. When it really started to deteriorate, when I really got worried about it, is when I did Free the Birds. So full disclosure on this, one of the proudest things I am absolutely as proud of speaking truth to power as John Feinstein is of writing his truth to power books. So in 2006, the thing that scared me the most, and I took myself off the air in 2005, was how indignant they were to facts, how even when the thing was deteriorating, they would still tell you there were 32,000 people there when there were 20. This has been going on forever. They've never acknowledged the deterioration of it. But the thing that scared me the most, and this God's honest truth, was when they started doing the Ollie's bargain nights, or maybe they might have been a Chick-fil-A. They were a different sponsor. But in 03, 04, 05, when they spent the money on Segui and did all that, on the nights when tickets were $5 and nobody wanted to go, and I remember talking to all of our hosts about it when I was Mr. Negative, was like, it's not a price. Remember Camden Yards cost a lot to go to when it opened up. It was a premium event. It was hard to get a ticket. Beers were always a dollar too much. And like, nobody minded any of that. And then they started losing. Then it became for me a price point issue when $5 tickets don't get people out. And I think to your point, one of the issues, one of their real hurdles over the course of the season is they're going to lose a lot. Like they'll do okay the night Rutschman comes up, or maybe if Rodriguez pitches every fifth day for 2 months, they'll get another couple thousand people. And I'm being nice. I think that maybe they won't based on weather. But the real issue is when people get the ticket. Like, I don't know if the Yankees cost more this weekend. I haven't looked. But I thought, like, when tickets were $12 the other day for opening day, I thought about giving them $12 because I thought that's a $12 experience for me. It's worth it. As a $28 experience, and I go through this with Broadway. I bought Billy Joel tickets because they were $62. At $140, Billy Joel can, hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood, because I'm probably not doing a $400 Billy Joel night anywhere because I just don't do that. But I'm that way financially. So I'm a cheapskate. I'm a Dundalk guy. But at a $8, $10, $12, $15, $20. $20 is a little expensive for the upper deck on the roof, I think, right? But it's a price point issue for the guy in Middle River who wants to take his kids, who loves baseball, for Jeff who wants to take his kids. What's it costing me to do it on a Tuesday to see a lousy team in a nice ballpark on a nice weather night without a giveaway? It's a price point issue. And I always thought they had screwed up by doing that Ollie's thing the wrong when they did away with it 5-6 years ago when they wanted to be full charge people. After they won, they went to the full charge model. And these discount nights are a great gateway to get people like me back.
Well, that's right.
When I look at it, $60 got me into Billy Joel. $130 gets me out of Billy Joel.
Yeah. Well, that's where I give them credit. I think, you know, the dugout club stuff is important. I always did that with my kids when they
and
were
getting
little.
People to use those tickets.
You know what I mean?
Like, if you give them 10 tickets for a dollar, get them in the ballpark, 8 of those.
I agree.
I sound like I'm in the sales room. I sound like TJ Brightman right now. But they need leadership there crappy baseball team.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing that.
This week, good news. I'll give them even though I hate them so much, I'll say something nice about
and
them.
And they do.
Cheap tickets
they do.
is a nice thing. They should be doing.
They've got a nice thing where if you bring a child, you know, you get a distance. Oh, they got a lot of things going on with that. Hey, the last thing, and I know we've got to run. You got other guests coming up.
By the way, let you take food in too. I'm going to say something.
Let me tell you, that was another good thing. Let me tell you the surprise for me this week, because I was prepared to not like something that I ended up saying, you know what? I like that. And that's the left field wall. I was fully prepared to not like the new left field wall. And now that I've seen it and see how it plays, I like it. I think it's going to be a better baseball game.
How can you say
game?
You see how it plays after 3 days? Like, I mean, so
I've seen enough. I've seen some fly balls caught. I've seen some balls in the corner. I mean, when I say, yeah, it's a small sample size, but having seen how it plays, but I like the aesthetic. I like the look of it. I was prepared to not like it. And I thought, that's interesting. I ended up liking
it. Well, it always felt more intimate, like Tiger Stadium or Fenway Park. And you know, I've been to every stadium in the league, Don. So I do speak from some expertise on this subject.
I've been to most of them.
Yeah, but, you know, being close is nice. And the closer you feel, I don't know. There's something about Camden Yards, the way it was built, where like the old Yankee Stadium had so much foul territory, especially right behind home plate. There was a lot of
foul. Think of the old Oakland Coliseum where it was, you know, miles and miles of foul territory.
It still is. You'll see that next week. By the way, I've got a great guest. I want to do a little promotion here for you. Okay. I want you to go read this piece, and it's serious business because you love baseball. There's a Ringer piece. And I want to get the fella's name right because he is my guest today. Dan Moore, M-O-O-R-E, Dan Moore from The Ringer, wrote a piece about the future of Oakland baseball and the value of a franchise to a city that just lost its football team for the second time. Like St. Louis has lost two, Oakland's lost two. They're never getting it back, right? And much like in here, Baltimore, Washington, they have the 49ers in the Bay Area.
Sure.
That they've lost the basketball team now. That it, much like we lost the Bullets to Washington in the 70s, that this is a fascinating story of Oakland's ability or inability to keep that franchise and how it may impact the Orioles down the line if Nashville becomes where they go or Portland or wherever these franchises are.
That the Nashville ship sailed this week when the General Assembly passed the $1.2 billion bond.
Yeah, boy, that's something that like I don't want to speak out of my rectum. I don't know anything about it, but whatever it is, the fact that $1.2 billion, like Kerwin-y kind of money, you know, is going to something that just I heard about last week as a done deal. You know, I saw you commenting on Joe Enoch's day. I think as a citizen, as a journalist, as a guy who loves sports and has built my life around sports and wants sports to survive, I'd like to know where that money's going other than to an honorarium for the Shoddy Trust Fund or the Angelo's Trust Fund. I want to see what it means other than another casino downtown.
Well, you're
right?
Gonna,
I mean, like, what is it really going to mean for Harbor Place? And I'm going to talk to Eric Costello about
Well, you're
that.
Going, they're going to – it just simply it's pointed out to folks who asked – it just authorizes the clubs to access bonds, which is a good thing. And it recognizes, I think, that members of the General Assembly understand the assets that professional sports teams are. And we'll see significant upgrades to both stadiums. And with that, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, I want to see where, you know, where the money goes. And before I pass judgment, say it's a good thing or it's a bad thing.
Well, you'll see.
Certainly, it's a lot of money. That's all I'll say. It's just a lot of money.
You'll see the changes to both states.
Let's go see if it does for downtown what Camden Yards was supposed to do and what the Ravens were supposed to do for our community. But for the most part,
it does to downtown. Wait a minute. Just real quick. I know you want to get out of it. What it does today, it's going to improve the two stadiums. When you say what it does to downtown, it's not a redevelopment. It's not for redevelopment projects. It's to improve both stadiums.
For the purpose of bringing people downtown.
For keeping the teams in town, believing that the teams are assets.
Bringing people downtown and drinking outside of Quigley's like I did on Monday.
Sure.
Perfect. If it does that, winner. If it goes into the Angelos and Bisciotti honorarium, like we've seen in Field of Schemes many times, in the end, maybe not even intentionally, but if that's where the money winds up, then that's no bueno. Because the Orioles have not been a good civic partner here. Hatred is or cynicism, the Orioles have been a tremendously poor civic partner to this community over 20 years. As a taxpayer and a citizen that lived downtown to buy a place for baseball lost $250,000 in real estate over the last 15 years.
Remember,
doing it, the Orioles' deterioration went along with the tax base, went along with Harbor Place, went along with crime, went along with a lot of things.
Yeah. Remember, you conveniently ignore the buck here. Remember, you conveniently ignore the buck.
And I can't ignore the Freddie Gray riots happening in the middle of the baseball game either.
But you ignore the Buccaneers and the playoffs and one of the highest payrolls in baseball.
Ignore is the fact that they didn't really grow the franchise during that
period.
Poor leadership.
And you ignore the fact that they now have the best farm system.
And they have empty pockets and number one draft picks. Don Mueller's here. We'll continue our baseball. Baseball will become irrelevant soon. We'll go on the draft. Putin will drop a bomb somewhere. We'll have other things to talk about. Because when it comes to baseball, we're polar on this. And that's fine. It creates a little edge for the recon. Don Mueller, former Baltimore County executive. You can find – what section are you sitting out there? 13, 16, 17? Where are you? You still got your seats, right?
What did you say?
You still sit in your first row – seats on first base, right?
Yeah, but you know, yes.
I know you love going to the games. You'll be there.
I will be there soon.
I got a rumor they have elotes this year at Camden Yards. You'll Google that. It's corn. It's delicious. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking and arguing and discussing, as I said on my social media, Orioles baseball. He's Don. I'm Nestor. Back for more on Baltimore Positive right after this.